and win another day. Catti Bree watched the woman's run and saw her companions entering the chamber, but only distantly did those images register. Her focus had to be the staff, Koza's needle, and the tremendous power contained within, curling tendrils of energy that battled her as surely as Dahlia had battled her. Her own lightning from Talmaril arced and ran around the weapon, combining with the dark powers from the altar, and within those black energies lived a flicker of the Spider Queen, a conduit to the mind of the Dark Demon Queen of Spiders. In that staff, Catti Bree heard the thoughts of Dahlia, the telepathic exchange between the elf and the goddess. She felt the turmoil, the battle light and dark, and she knew that Dahlia meant to end her struggle by leaping into the pit even before she saw Dahlia turn that way. And Catti Bree too heard the denial, the darkness refuting Dahlia, the darkness dominating Dahlia, and as Dahlia spun around and rushed into the second tunnel, Catti Bree felt her hope for freedom, that she could turn again upon Drizzt and his friends as an agent of Lolth. Catti Bree could hardly hold the staff, and she too turned for the primordial pit, thinking to feed the godlike primordial beast this tainted weapon. But mercy stopped her, mercy for Dahlia and her dismayed realization that Dahlia had lost, and Dahlia was lost, and this realization turned her back fast the other way. Koza's needle, teeming with power, flew spear-like into the tunnel behind the retreating Dahlia. It hit the wall just inside, and the resulting explosion shook the ground with the power of an earthquake, and as she tumbled down, Catti Bree feared that she had just broken the whole of the place and perhaps had freed the primordial. Chapter 27. Never Forget. Drizzt and Entreri ran along the back corridor, passing the lava tube, an open tunnel to their left, a wall of iron blocking the passage to their right. They paid it no heed, other than to use it as a guide point in their rush to rejoin the others in the forge. But then they were flying, falling, tumbling, as a great retort rumbled all around them, dust and stones bursting out from their left, from around the magical wall of stone. Pelted and bounced around, the two crashed in across the way, and Treri several steps into the open lava tube. "The beast!" Drizzt breathed, picking himself up from the ground. On he ran, and Treri, his limp noticeably more pronounced, struggling to keep up. Entering the brightly lit forge, Drizzt first noted Brother Afafrenfir leaning on the open mithril door on legs surely wobbly. He called out to the monk, who looked his way and pointed emphatically down the tunnel. Drizzt never slowed, turning in fast and Treri hustling close behind. The two came into the primordial chamber, Drizzt leading and skidding to a stop as he took in the remarkable scene. The webbing, the dead green spider, the altar block, the pile of magma near the ledge, and the companions of the hall, standing together before a pile of collapsed rubble. Right at the entrance to the lava tube, Drizzt knew. Catti Bree leaned heavily on Brunner, looking dazed and weak and covered with dust, and Drizzt ran to her with all speed.
"We found your Dahlia,"
Brunner said to him, nodding to the rubble. Drizzt sucked in his breath, and Treri, who had heard, ran by him to the rubble pile and began hopping all around the broken stones and dust, shoving some aside.
"Dahlia," he yelled, and he threw a rock at the rubble and spun back on the others. "What did you do?"
Drizzt pulled Catti Bree closer, expecting Entreri to leap at her, but the woman straightened, stepped away from him, and lifted her chin resolutely.
"She was not the elf you once knew," she said confidently. "She was possessed of a demon. She would hear no reason."
And Treri picked up another stone, swung around, and threw it with all his might into the pile. He sat down there, as if his legs had simply collapsed beneath him, staring at the stone.
"We should be leaving," Regis remarked. "Did you find the dwarf?"
Drizzt never stopped looking at Catti Bree, or at the burn and bruise across her throat. "She is close behind, and with others we freed as well," he answered. "And yes, it is time to go, and with all speed."
took Catti Bree by the shoulders then, and pushed her past him to the waiting support of Wulfgar. He nodded to his friends, and they started back for the forge. "We have to go," Drizzt said to Entreri a few moments later, moving near to the man and bending low beside him.
"Then go,"
Entreri replied.
"There is nothing here for you."
Entreri looked up at him, and the assassin's crestfallen expression spoke to Drizzt before Entreri corrected the assertion with,
"There is nothing for me. There is always something." "Go, Drow,"
Entreri said.
"Your place is with your friends.
You will find," Drizzt started to say, but Entreri cut him short.
"Go,"
he said more firmly. And he turned back to the wall of broken stone. Drizzt let his stare linger for a bit longer, but really had nothing more he could say. He rose, patting Entreri on the shoulder, and started away.
"I will never forget that you came for me, Drizzt O'Erden,"
Entreri called after him. And for some reason he didn't quite yet understand, those words filled Drizzt's heart. By the time he got back to the forge, Drizzt found Ambergris and the three freed humans with the others. Catti Bree had no spells available to help the cursed dwarf, but Regis reached into his magical pouch and produced a potion he thought might be of use, and indeed, before the group of 10 had even started off, Ambergris was already speaking once more, and non-stop as she recounted her adventures to any who would listen.
"Godbuster,"
Regis whispered to Drizzt and Brunner, nodding his chin at the recovering female dwarf.
"I figured that it could cut through any sickly venom."
"Wah-ha-ha!"
Brunner laughed, and Drizzt was glad of his own smile. He was thinking of Dahlia and with a heavy heart, and thinking of Entreri, with great sympathy. Ambergris moved over to her dear friend Afafrenfir, and placed her thick hand on his forehead as she began her chant, calling upon her god to infuse the battered man with healing warmth and strength. Afafrenfir stood taller almost immediately and nodded his gratitude.
"I've some more magic prepared,"
the cleric offered.
"Use it upon yourself, then,"
said Regis, breaking away from Brunner and Drizzt.